From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
They call me Ben, you are you, and that makes this stuff they don't want you to know. Today, of course, we're joined, as always, with our super producer, Alex Williams. And for this episode, let's take an imaginary road trip.
Okay, right? To Dollywood.
Where are we going, Dad?
Well, what about Disney World? Have you guys ever been to Disney World?
I have. It's Orlando. Been a long time.
I went once when I was very, I guess I went several times when I was very young, mm-hmm. right? Disney World is like this global legend. People around the world are aware of Disney World, right? Mm-hmm. It's a magical place. Every day, an estimated 250,000 guests visit, and in a lot of ways, it's a city of its own.
More ways than we knew prior to researching this episode.
Mm-hmm. And getting into the history of Disney as a company is a huge proposition.
Dude, I know. And the twists and turns you take and some of the legal stuff we're going to get into in this episode, very surprising to me, considering the way I view the company and like the image, the word Disney.
So we have to pick our battles and be pretty specific. So today we're going to look at the story of Walt Disney World, located in Bay Lake and Lake Buena Vista, Florida. This wasn't the first park Disney built. There was another park called Disneyland in Anaheim, California. That opened in 1955. And, Noel and I actually stayed across the street from there recently.
I know. I really kind of wanted to go, but I couldn't justify spending more than $100 to like wait in a series of lines all day, which is kind of what it seems like a trip to Disneyland involves.
And they have fireworks every night.
We saw those for free though from the street, from just like driving around. That was pretty cool.
We went, Tyler and Holly and I went when we went to Star Wars Celebration specifically. I paid money to get in there to be with Holly to watch the fireworks because it was like a Star Wars themed thing.
And that's Holly Fry, a friend of the show's and one of the co-hosts of Stuff You Missed in History Class.
Correct.
So was it worth it? Did you have a good time?
I mean, for my money, no. But the look on Holly's face, like with the tears coming down after the Star Wars presentation, I mean, it was worth it.
Oh, that's beautiful, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't make it into Disneyland that time around, but who knows? Life is long, right? Mm-hmm. The most well-known park that Disney owns is probably still the one in Florida. It's Disney World. It was built in 1971. Currently, it's over 27,000 acres or 43 square miles in size.
Wow.
And it's got a bunch of stuff on there, too.
Oh, yeah. You got four theme parks that are massive on their own right, two water parks, which are also hefty, 27 themed resort hotels. That blew my mind. I knew of maybe eight. Hmm. I did not know there were 27.
I wonder if they start reaching after, like, number 20.
They've got to.
You know, are those last eight? I think is one of them just the themed on the parrot in Aladdin.
Well, see, that's the thing. With every new property they produce in their other ventures, in their media companies, you can just pop a resort up and now you've got money just coming in.
There's the Avatar one now, right?
Yeah
that's the new one, right?
And then there's also the Star Wars one where it like lets you like almost like be a character in your own Star Wars adventure. And I think it's kind of creepy to me a little bit where like you don't really leave the park.
Yeah.
Or the hotel. It's all this like unified experience where everything follows you from your hotel to like your time at the park and all that stuff. And you like maintain this reputation, I guess, based on choices you make.
Yeah. It's all encompassing, self-sustaining. It's a theme we're going to continue to cover in this episode.
It's a bubble. It's almost an alternate reality.
I was talking to Holly from history class about it, and she's kind of a Disney aficionado, shall we say. And I was sort of saying like, man, I don't know. It's a little weird. She's like, what about that sounds weird? That sounds like the most amazing thing ever in the history of anything. I'm like, cool, Ollie, you can have that.
People who are fans of Disney are often, you know, diehard, lifelong loyalists, you know, like traveling every year, have a reserve place, maybe have a home that they spend part of the time, part of the year in near the parks. There are also 9 non-Disney hotels.
Yep.
If you need a Disney break. They've got golf courses. Of course, there's a camping resort. Here's the craziest thing we found. There's still more room for growth. Less than 34% of this land has been developed. A quarter of it is a wilderness preserve, which I think reflects nicely on them.
Doesn't it? And, you know, it's not exactly easy to develop land in that part of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you got to do a lot of work to even prep it to put buildings on there.
Oh, just because it's swampy?
Yeah, exactly.
Today, Walt Disney World is the most popular vacation resort on the planet, according to them.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I have to add that part. And every year, they have an estimated attendance of over 52 million people. That's not at Disneyland and Disney World combined. That's at Disney World.
Wow.
So we mentioned the total square mileage. By way of comparison, this area, this complex, this bubble, this community of its own is about the size of San Francisco.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually going to Orlando for a non-Disney work-related thing next week, and when I went to rent a car, the stat popped up on the car rental site that Orlando is like the car rental capital of the world.
Oh, wow. You're going to be a part of history,
man. Yes,
man. You should, when you land on the plane or when you sit next to someone on the plane, you should just tell them that you're going because it's the car rental capital.
I've always dreamed of visiting the car rental capital of the world. No, but seeing all these stats, it makes sense. I guess I didn't realize how massive this whole complex is with all this different stuff. It makes sense.
If you're not familiar with San Francisco, imagine the entire island of Manhattan, New York, where New York City is.
Sure.
And now double it. And then put it in Florida, and that's how large this place is.
Oh, I get some a cartoon mouse, too,
yeah.
As well.
Yeah.
And just a kick-ass castle. Can I say that? Like, I know it's not a real castle, but
Cinderella's?
That thing looks cool.
It really does.
Magic Kingdom opened up in 1971, right? And when it did, it had about 5,500 employees. The term for park employees, by the way, is cast members.
Mm-hmm.
And this is interesting because there's a whole terminology or language used by the company to describe guests, to describe experiences or attractions. And it reminds me of when we all learned through just weird conversations here at work, we all learned about how the WWE in the world of wrestling has its own weird language
superstars.
Rules. Right, right.
Makes me want to put my hands under my armpits and smell them like this.
Wow. I wonder how many people in our audience get that reference.
They all just think I'm a freak. That is an Saturday Night Live reference for anyone that I did not make that up.
Yep. That's a good one, too.
We're cutting all of this.
No, please keep
it. I think we should keep it. Somebody will write in with an email. No, they'll get it, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
No, it's like a whole branded, like Disney speak.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So no employees. Everybody's a cast member.
They're always performing.
Mm-hmm. And they're always guests. And the secret stuff that happens, which is a fascinating underworld of its own, is just all referred to as backstage.
Yeah.
And then anytime you're around a guest, you're on stage.
That is so cool. I kind of like that.
I mean, you know, I guess they have to have pretty easily understood and clearly defined rules because today Walt Disney World employs more than 74,000 cast members, and that means its payroll is like $1.2 billion
annually a year.
Yeah, not every day.
Oh, but that's really exciting. That means this company must bring in just buttloads of cash.
Right, because payroll is just going to be a percentage of profit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And before it gets too weird, right, we've got to admit it's easy to fall into a Disney rabbit hole. Over the years, the Magic Kingdom has been the subject of all kinds of conspiracy theories and unfounded rumors. And you've probably, if you're listening to this show, you've probably heard at least a few of these before.
Oh, yeah, dudes. There's the idea that secret events, there are secret places in the Disney theme parks, and there are these, like, secret parties that occur at these things. And there have been crazy accusations online about what goes on at some of these, but we do know there's a grain of truth here because there are a lot of exclusive clubs that exist in the different resorts and the different parks that you have to be a specific type of member to get in and, you know, have a drink there or whatever.
Yeah, one the the one that I think started this sort of conspiracy or this rumor is a place called Club 33,
mm-hmm.
private, exclusive, five-star restaurant in – and it's actually in Disneyland in California, so not in Florida. But the idea, you know, like the proven existence of Club 33 will make people – some people say like, you know, there's a secret spot in Florida too.
Yeah.
There's a you have to know the right – you have to shake the right mouse's hand.
Plus, let's talk about the number 33.
Oh, I feel like I'm good on the number 33. Oh, that's right. This is our first time recording since the world didn't end.
Right? We're okay. We made it through.
I wasn't even aware that that was a potential thing that was going to happen. You guys didn't clue me in. You didn't send me a memo.
We were banking on it not happening. But if it did, that would have been pretty terrible on our part, Ben. I'm sorry.
I would have felt really bad. If the world ends, I want to, you know, I want this show to go out, guns blazing. We should get some guns in the studio. And I want us to be like the whole crew.
Yes.
You know? But for now, of course, the world hasn't ended. And I'm very glad it hasn't.
That's right.
And you can still get into an exclusive club at Disneyland. Yeah. And the question is, are there other secret places at Disney World? But that's just one of the rumors. There's other stuff too.
Speaking of people dying.
Apparently that's not a thing at Disney. In Disney, no one dies. Only that's not true. But the theory is that no one dies at Disney. It's the idea that both cast and guest deaths are covered up to keep the park's image squeaky clean.
Part of that focuses on the whole underground backstage system where if anything kind of starts to go down, things get swept away and down into the catacombs. You know, it's an interesting idea.
When I first read this one, I thought it was like some sort of weird legal distinction that only Disney had, kind of like the zone of death.
Yeah.
So we did where it's like, you know, it's not possible for you to die. Yes, you're dead, but you're not when you're at Disney.
Mm.
You just... I don't know what happens.
So they just use a different word. They're like, you get promoted.
They probably turn you into like a costume and prop you up like a puppet.
That's cool.
See, I think you become a cast member permanently at the Haunted Mansion. See?
It's got his Hotel California vibe.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
We are
going
to get so sued.
We're not getting sued.
You know what I think?
No.
Disney listens to this stuff. They monitor all frequencies for any mention of the mouse.
Well, you know, it might not be Disney monitoring. There might be somebody else just giving it to Disney. And
wait,
again.
Is this a segue?
We're going to get into it, man.
We're going to focus on a single aspect of Walt Disney World, just one facet of this gem, and that is the construction of this ideal world.
Mm-hmm.
Because, of course, buying over 40 square miles of land in Florida, even swampland, it's not something you just go out and do on a lunch break, and it can also be quite expensive if, that is, you do it legally.
You can do that illegally?
So in the 50s, when Disney began searching for property in Florida, the company realized they were kind of at this collective crossroads. There were two ways to look at their situation. So I'll present their perspective and then the other way to look at it.
Okay.
From the company's perspective, how the land was purchased was crucial. If multiple private landowners realized a single company was purchasing land in the area – the owners would almost certainly jack up their prices, and if they knew it was Disney, this would be compounded, right? So they would start speculating, maybe even becoming just holdouts.
Yeah.
Just saying like, I have my, you know, split-level ranch home in the middle of all the land you want, so now it's going to be $1 million.
Pay me your eminent domain, son.
There wasn't a way to claim eminent domain or anything because that's a power technically restricted to the government. An eminent domain is the thing in action when you see roads in your neighborhood get widened.
Yeah.
We have a lot of that in Atlanta.
Oh, so much.
And that happens because the city says, well, for the good, the public good, we are taking possession of, you know, like this front 4 feet of someone's yard.
And generally, we'll pay you.
Right.
But, you know.
what we determined to be a fair market yeah. rate. There's another way to look at this, and that is Disney realized that by obfuscating the company's identity, by making certain that landowners did not really know who was buying what, the company could conspire to get land at a price significantly below market rate.
And when we say below market rate, we're talking around $200 for an acre, an entire acre of land for $200. That's crazy.
That's a good deal?
Yeah.
That's a good deal.
That's a really good deal.
Clearly, I'm not a land baron. So there was a conspiracy going on? Is that – conspire is like the
– Yeah, this is a textbook group of people conspiring to buy land at a much lower price.
But the mouse would never do that. He's in – look at him. He's got those big white gloves and smile on his face and that high-pitched voice.
It wasn't the mouse, though. It was the mouse's boys.
Yeah, the mouse is like an idea guy. He doesn't get those gloves dirty.
Yeah.
But he does have friends, and they posed another question to Walt Disney. And let's just refer to Disney as the mouse. I like that. A little bit of metonymy, right?
Yeah.
So they posed a question. They said, well, once you own the land, how do you control it?
He who controls the spice controls the world.
Here's where it gets crazy. So Disney, as Matt has sort of foreshadowed.
The mouse, you mean?
The mouse, yes, the mouse. How soon I forgot. The mouse had friends, and the mouse did not do all of its own work in acquiring this land. Believe it or not, the mouse worked with the CIA, using the same tactics that CIA agents had previously used to destabilize foreign regimes. The mouse and a small circle of close contacts from the intelligence community created this enduring fiction. It involves puppet governments, shell companies, all the hits, all the good stuff.
Yeah, and you may be thinking to yourself, what? Again, you're going to say that a lot this episode.
The truth is stranger than fiction, often. So Disney, the mouse, had a contact with the CIA, their probably, let's call it their initial contact, and it was a person you may have heard of previously.
Good old William Donovan, a.k.a. Wild Bill, a.k.a. father of the CIA.
A.k.a. hurdy-gurdy man, sunshine Superman.
This
That's not true. That's a different Donovan.
I like the AKA game. Remember, we played that back in the day.
That, you know, I think you should, let's keep it quiet, but I think you should market that. That could be a boxed up game that you could sell to the nerds. Yes. We'd see some like, you know, clandestine, hard to follow rules.
Sure, yeah. Sure. Yeah. We, on a tangent, when we're off air, we have, all sorts of schemes and plans and shenanigans. And one time we made up a game. Called AKA.
And it was great.
Our version of it, though, is just like AKA a thing. Was there like, but what if you had to do it in alphabetical order or like, you know, like going to a picnic style or something?
Add a
like
couple
that.
Things, yeah.
There had to be some rules. We'll get back to you guys on that.
We'll work on that.
Don't steal our ideas, but, you know, you can send us suggestions if
there's
you want.
Nothing to steal yet. They just said the name of it.
Be on the lookout for it on our new merch shop that we're working on.
Yeah. All right. So who is this Wild Bill Donovan?
Well, they call him the father of the CIA because he was the founder of the Office of Strategic Services.
The OSS.
The OSS. You may have heard us speak of that before. It was the agency that came before the CIA, what the CIA would become. And he also co-founded, interestingly enough, a New York law firm called Donovan, Leisure, Newton & Irvine. Sounds really nice. They did lots of good work. And according to author T.D. Allman, He wrote a book called Finding Florida, The True History of the Sunshine State. He says that attorneys from this firm, they provided very specific services for Disney. And he calls them agents who were attempting to acquire land in Florida, what we were talking about. Well, they did things like provide fake identification for agents working on behalf of Disney, set up a secret communications center so that they could talk to each other clandestinely. They also orchestrated disinformation campaigns wherein they spread false rumors about the Ford Motor Company being the behemoth that was coming through and buying up all the land, so that Ford ended up getting some flack in the press and they were kind of shielded. Kind of crazy stuff, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's how the apples get squished.
It's like when Uber ordered all those, fraudulent pizzas from Lyft drivers. No, wait, that's not true. It's the other way around. No, it's not the other way around. Uber just apparently ordered a bunch of Lyfts that weren't going to any actual people just to get them off the grid.
Whoa.
And
smart.
Completely legal.
Yeah. But this guy, Wild Bill, was not the only CIA contact.
Right. There was another, fellow named Paul Helliwell. He was hired as the Mouse's chief legal strategist. This was an extremely shady character. He was what I would call part of the deep sketch. And he had helped launch the secret CIA wars or conflicts in Indochina, and he had returned to Florida, Miami specifically, to help orchestrate various agency attempts at overthrowing Castro. And yes, we're talking about the bizarre assassination attempts as well. Really cartoonish stuff from a different cartoon dynasty. They tried to give Fidel Castro exploding cigars,
all different kinds of poisons,
make his beard fall off. It made me think of Wile E. Coyote, the level of scams and the various different Acme products.
Yeah, in the big box that just has the word on it.
And Acme was such a successful company, but their stuff never seemed to work.
Yeah.
Anyway, this he was part of this fighting Castro.
Making
CIA wars, and said, I'll help you out, Walter. And his first big task with the Mouse was to buy up land for Disney without letting any of the property owners know that Disney was the one buying them out. And so that works in concert with the stuff that Wild Bill is doing, where he's spreading rumors and somebody says, are you from the Ford Motor Company?
No,
but we hear they're around.
Yeah, exactly.
He started out buying land as low as $80 an acre, which again, not being land barons, still, that sounds pretty good, right?
Amazing.
$80 an acre?
I'll take it. I will build so many houses.
That's 3 acres for a video game system?
Yeah. Wow.
So he started buying this stuff, $80 an acre through various shell companies while Bill Donovan's firm ran that disinformation campaign. And today, a neat note about the palimpsest of history is that today you can walk down Main Street USA at Walt Disney World and you can find the names of those shell companies because they are listed on the upper story windows of the buildings.
Yeah, that's where they run, man. That's where those shell companies operate.
Is that true?
I mean, why not? Why not?
I would hope so. That would be kind of cool if you had a shell company job that was not amusement park related, but your office was in Disney World.
Yeah, it's just a single desk in a room and it looks out over Main Street.
Parking's probably really tough though.
Yeah.
So this doesn't work forever. Eventually, word gets around as it is wont to do, and people finally find out that there's only one big buyer in the area and it's all Disney. And then the price shoots up
to $80,000 an acre. At about what it probably should be for a massive corporation buying up land. But here's the deal.
Yeah.
At that point, they'd bought so much land for such a cheaper price that the average overall is what we stated before, $200 an acre.
Wow.
They got away with it so hard.
And it seems like kind of an exciting project to be involved in. Mm-hmm. I don't want to sound to a moral or something, but it's not like they were buying it to build a nuclear waste site.
Aw, Ben, that sounds just amoral enough.
Thanks, man.
To be true.
I feel like I would be okay at it,
Mm-hmm.
I've seen you wringing your hands in private.
Oh, the thing is,
laughing sinisterly.
The thing is, you just do one hand when you're talking to the people.
Yeah.
It looks like you're always about to do something.
Yes. But here's the deal, guys. So they've acquired all this land, right?
Uh-huh.
You've bought the land. But what are your next steps? Because you just own the land. What can I now do with this land legally?
Right. So he also started pitching the Mouse on this other idea. He said, okay, we've bought the land. How can we ensure the highest level of sustained control over it? In a very real sense, Helliwell becomes the conceptual architect of this domain and gives instructions on how to get close to something like sovereignty.
Yeah.
Self-governance.
For the mouse's lair.
Yeah. They're at a secretive – Walt Disney sets up a secretive meeting in May of 1965, and he calls it a seminar. And at the seminar, Helliwell pitches this approach that would allow Disney to avoid a lot of taxation and environmental regulation and maintain immunity from the U.S. Constitution.
Wow. That does not sound sinister at all.
That really escalates, right?
Yeah, yeah, it does.
It's like the first one, the second one, and the third one is
The taxation thing is, you know, every church that's ever existed.
The problem here is the guy's name is Helliwell, so I can't, like, fault him because every time I hear his name, I just think, Helliwell. You know? He's just a good guy.
Or is it Helliwell?
It depends on, you know, if you're a friend or a foe.
Ah.
But I could definitely see it being the name of, like, a character in a children's book.
Oh,
you know?
Definitely.
Like an animal that talks.
No, he's like an emoji. He's a Helliwell. Helliwell. Never mind.
No, I see where you're going. I think this has legs.
I'm going nowhere fast. But this story is going somewhere fast. So just like in the earlier operations, Helliwell advised Disney to set up a puppet government. That doesn't sound sketchy at all.
Yeah, within the United States.
I'm telling you. He's part of the deep sketch.
And have the entity do Disney's bidding, basically.
Yeah, man.
And then Helliwell told Disney to establish at least two phantom cities. So we've got puppet governments and phantom cities. It's just
awesome.
Keeping stuff straight here. Then he said that they should use these fake governments to control land use and make sure the public money the theme park generated, like taxes, for example, stayed in Disney's private, you know, white glove clad hands.
Yeah, so you're paying yourself taxes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Totally legit.
Totally legit. It's what they call soups legit, right?
Yep, yep. So on paper, Disney World cities would be just these, you know, regular old American hometowns. Just you want to go and visit the Disney hometown? You can. It's great. The great values here. Here's the deal.
First, you have to bend the knee and swear fealty to the mouse. So.
Yes, well, sure. Because
– bend the knee.
Oh, God.
That was terrible.
That was sort of a combination of Goofy and Mickey.
Yeah, I feel like I would do a better
Goofy.
Moofy.
Moofy is a new character.
So here's the deal. Like we're saying, the bend the knee thing kind of was there because the only official residents who lived in these two cities would be handpicked. They would be I guess loyalists, if you want to call them that, people who
Mouseketeers, if you will.
Sure.
Ooh, there we go.
They worked for Disney, and they are the ones who would periodically elect officials for these two cities, who in turn would cede complete control over to Disney executives. So ultimately, it's just, we're going to put you in here, you're going to vote for us. We're going to make the decisions, and we're the guys way up there are going to be the ones who tell you what to do.
It's weird, right? In early 1967, Florida's legislature got into action with this. They signed over municipal jurisdiction for the land owned by the mouse, and Walt himself named this jurisdiction entity the Reedy Creek Improvement District, and it was named after a waterway that went through the land called, in a burst of creativity, Reedy Creek.
Yeah.
So Disney officially isn't really doing stuff. The Reedy Creek Improvement District is, and this means that Disney, the mouse, can do whatever it wants on that land without government interference, including if they wanted building a nuclear waste site.
And, you know, there were rumors online that Disney had or was about to build a nuclear power plant as recently as 2016. We have not been able to confirm any of those stories.
Yeah, it's called Space Mountain.
Yeah, man. Stay woke.
Okay.
Why do you think so much of Space Mountain is dark? It's so that you don't see the huge concrete shell over the core.
I never thought about that.
It's cool. You only get mildly irradiated by going on that ride.
Which I'm into. I'm into like a good mild dose of radiation.
Yeah, it's like going to the spa.
Yeah. So I love how we co-sign that. Please don't poison yourself with radiation chasing a mild spa high.
Mm-hmm.
This essentially means, you know, now that they can have this agency to build, build structures that a government would usually build, it means that they're in charge of things like fire departments now, right?
Yep.
Waste disposal.
They could build airports and industrial parks, mm-hmm. like, all that stuff.
And they can – this gets a little dry, but they can issue tax-free bonds that are for internal improvements, right? Mm-hmm. And then they are also exempt from laws regarding zoning or land use. So the Florida legislature creates these two phantom cities, and they're both named for artificial reservoirs that Disney engineers made. Since nobody actually lives in these phantom cities – Disney just needs, as Matt said, a couple of hand-picked employees to toe the line. On a side note, I'm starting to think the phrase hand-picked is really weird.
Yeah.
You don't ever hear, like, foot-tapped.
Yeah.
Or hand-picked. Anyway.
Elbow-rubbed.
Elbow-rubbed. Yes.
Nipple-pinched.
Oh.
Sorry, I had to keep it. I had to have the last pinch.
Yeah, it's fine.
This is the last. Yeah, yeah. So many possibilities. Okay. I'll stay on the rails here.
So we've got these handpicked employees.
Yes, and this whole shenanigan is definitely sketchy, probably illegal, arguably unconstitutional, but with the aid of the compliant state legislature, the cities were incorporated. These would be Bay Lake and Lake Buena Vista.
They sound like beautiful places.
And they still exist today with a combined population of around 57 people, most people living in Bay Lake. All of them are Disney employees or retired employees or the children of employees. And when you visit Disney's Magic Kingdom, you are visiting the city of Bay Lake, Florida. As we record this, Bay Lake has a population of 47.
Yep. And then there are 10 people hanging out in Lake Buena Vista, although they might not be hanging out there because they probably have houses other places too. All they have to do is own the land.
Yeah. In both cities, the Disney-engineered legislation established a qualification for holding executive office, requiring that each candidate for office must be the owner either directly or as a trustee of real property situated in the city in order to be able to hold the office of a councilperson. And that's important.
Mm-hmm.
Because with like five exceptions, Disney owns all the land. All of it. With
yeah.
these five exceptions, and we'll explore this because, as we said, through this RCID, Reedy Creek Improvement District, Disney's able to supply municipal services like fire departments, street cleaning, all that stuff. But despite the pretty cozy arrangement, Disney and the state of Florida still butt heads on different issues, mm-hmm. obviously. There's a lot of money in play. One of the big ones would be property assessments. As you can imagine, the Magic Kingdom is not cheap.
Yeah.
Right?
And Uncle Samsonite, that's the state Uncle Sam of Florida.
Okay. the state uncle. I like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, Uncle Samsonite needs that cash, you know?
To put in his Samsonite cash briefcases.
Yeah.
It's probably a lot of cases for that. those Disney bucks.
Yeah.
Puts Ben Bucks to shame.
Oh.
You know what? It's one step at a time. I'd rather be fighting for something I believe in than joining big Disney dollars, you know? So where does that leave us today?
We'll examine the contents of that mouse trap when we return from a quick break.
Currently, Disney remains in control of the area. The Phantom Cities we mentioned earlier are still around, as is the town of Celebration, Florida, a Disney planned community where Disney remains the largest land owner.
Yeah, it was. This thing was built in 1994. And it was built as an homage to the Walt Disney Epcot plan, this real utopian future of what a city could look like.
Yeah. Epcot is an acronym. It stands for Experimental Prototype Community of Tomorrow, and it could be the subject of its own episode. It was one of Walt Disney's long-running dreams to build mm-hmm. this perfect town, or that obeyed his ideals of a perfect
yeah.
town. And the plans are pretty interesting.
Oh, yeah. And if you are interested in moving to Celebration, you can get a one-bed, one-bath for, I think it's a condo for $135,000 right now.
That seems reasonable.
Yeah.
No, for a condo? No, it's a little high, right?
I mean,
again, clearly not an anything barren land or property yeah. or otherwise. Yeah. I just don't know how much anything costs. I'm yeah. like a child.
There's... If you did just win the lottery, though, if you're listening to this, you can move there and be as close as you want to the mouse for $4 million, $3 million. There are some mansions in Celebration.
For your mouse proximity? Your mouse proximity? One of the unexpectedly fascinating things we found when we were looking at the weird beginning of Disney was that all is not well in Celebration. It is a deceptively normal town, but it's been home to some murders. People say that they've gotten a Stepford vibe if they're not fans of the town. It has when you move in there, you get a handbook with pretty exacting rules over what you can and can't do. You know,
what are the homeowner associations?
HOAs.
Yeah, I'm assuming those are pretty intense there.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of lotteries, more than 4,000 people entered a lottery to pay 25% over the market price for the first 500 homes. People were all about it. There have been murders. There was a guy bludgeoned to death by a homeless man who said that he bludgeoned the guy for trying to sleep with him. Less than a week later, an armed man barricaded himself in his home.
Wow.
Yeah.
Burying the lead a little bit here. Wow. That's intense.
And it gets weirder. There's a group of British expatriates who move there when they, like, retire and stuff. And there's a phenomenon that they refer to as celebration separation. This describes the tendency, only some members of the community see it, for people to move to Celebration being happily married and then to pretty much get divorced because of the living in that town. Mm. So there's something sinister when you hear people talk about it that way. One guy also said, you know, they're out here just swapping wives out of boredom. He's like, I've never met so many swingers, which was not what I was expecting. Not to like profile anybody, but that's not what I was expecting when I was reading about Celebration, the Disney town, you know?
Yeah, but somebody, you know, there are a group of people, a large group of people that are loving it.
And also, if it bleeds, it leads. Mm-hmm. So I'm conveying information about like the bad things I've heard.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that there are people who have been to Celebration listening in the audience who can tell us a little more about it, right? And that's probably exaggerated.
God help you if Holly's listening to this episode. God help you.
Is she a Celebration fan?
No, she's just, you know,
I think us.
She's a Disney lifer.
It's true. And Stuff You Missed in History Class has some excellent episodes on Disney.
Oh, for sure.
But don't just say, God help me. Remember, you're in this.
Yeah,
I know, but I'm trying to – I'm doing my best to keep my mouse gloved hands clean here.
You came up with the mouse, dude.
I didn't come up with the mouse. People call it the mouse. You ever heard people refer to Disney as the mouse?
No.
It's a thing. I wish I could claim credit for that, but alas, I cannot.
The overall area is still controlled by the Reedy Creek Improvement District. It's governed by a 5-person board of supervisors, all of whom are senior Disney employees. Remember when I mentioned those 5 exemptions or 5 exceptions? So each of these 5 senior employees on the board own a 5-acre undeveloped lot of land within the district. It is the only land not technically controlled by the mouse or used for public/road purposes. And this means that they can vote. Residents of the so-called Phantom Cities can elect city officials, but because they are not landowners and because of that qualification, they have no power to elect the Board of Supervisors. In many ways, this remains an autonomous area with relatively little government influence. It's a world, in many ways, all of its own.
Disney World, man.
Disney World. A magical place. And, you know, they haven't been challenged in court on the way this was set up, right? And they're not doing villainous things. They're actually having a nature preserve is an admirable thing. And I'm sure it's a massive economic force for the area.
And providing an experience for countless children that they will remember for the rest of their lives. I mean, honestly, can't you guys have like really fond memories of going to a Disney place, right? Anywhere. forgets Disney.
I went to Disney World when I was a kid, and what I remember more than Disney World itself was like driving to Florida and eating like gator nuggets at some little hole in the wall place.
I think I went to that hole in the wall
too. With like taxidermy stuff everywhere. That's what I remember. I remember precious little about actual Disney World.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have fond memories of Disney World. I remember Space Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Which was just the creme de la creme.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember being super impressed with Epcot and thinking, man, we should all live in the city of the future. I drank the Kool-Aid on Epcot real quick.
Well, it was the first time I had been introduced to other cultures in a tangible way like that, even though, you know, it's in Epcot, it's a theme park or whatever, but they had real things that I could touch and interact with that I'd never seen before.
I do remember one ride that was like a Norway ride.
Oh, you mind reader.
There's
yeah.
like a creepy like monster
Trolls.
Thing, a troll thing. Yeah, yeah, I remember that. I actually was talking to Jonathan Strickland, friend, frenemy of the show, and he said that that ride has now been replaced by a Frozen ride.
Oh, no.
But that's actually the first time I'd thought about that in years, and I said I didn't remember anything from Disney World, but I do remember that. It feels like you're going to go off a ledge
right.
or something.
You're riding in almost like a flume, mm-hmm. loggy looking thing.
Yeah.
And you get to the edge.
And there's the
troll like, whoa, Norway. Yeah, I remember it specifically because when I was a kid, I wanted to buy like a snack, right? And there was something, this chocolate ball covered with chocolate sprinkles, and it was called like a rum ball. And I had no idea what that was. And the guy behind the counter, who I thought was an adult, was probably like, you know, 19.
Mm-hmm.
He 17 or 19, he said, I can't sell this to you. And it was like, you have to get your mom or your parent or your dad or something. So I had to go negotiate a rum ball. And then I got in an imaginary fight with trolls. Yeah, dude. Also,
whoa.
it really hyped up Norway for us. I think for you too, Noel.
Big time.
When we go to Norway, is it going to be – is it going to live up to the expectations set by Epcot?
I don't think I think the trolls kind of keep to their own mm-hmm. in the tundra. I don't think they're just like flopping around willy-nilly,
yeah.
you know.
They're flopping around.
Just to throw a completely dry example
yeah.
here just for everybody, I think it's Japan.
You're really selling this bit here.
I think it's Japan, the section about Japan. Maybe it's not Japan. Maybe it's South Korea. I don't remember which country it was. But when I was a kid, seeing the architecture – of some of the parts of Asia over there that I had never seen before blew my mind. And I wanted to live in a house that looked like that.
This is like the international pavilion thing
where it's got
bits of all this stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't remember any of that, but that does sound like that'd be pretty mind-blowing for a kid to see all that, because that is some cool, weird stuff.
Because you never see it ever, in like at least in my life from where I was from.
And – a lot of this stuff still exists today. It's going to change with the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like Noel said regarding Jonathan's report about the troll ride being mm-hmm. replaced. This seems set to continue. The mouse is going to continue ruling over this part of Florida.
For the foreseeable future, for sure.
Mm-hmm. And although it's a weird situation, legally speaking, one of the big questions is – it's a weird situation. It does clearly involve a conspiracy of sorts. But the big question is it a bad thing? I mean, they're not running a criminal empire, right?
That we know of.
What do you think? Do you feel like there's something going on that's more than meets the eye, something a little more sinister? Or do you think it's just how it's been and how it's going to keep going, and Disney is amazing, and who cares how they got the land? Who cares how they set up and run the puppet governments? I mean, you can have a lot of valid feelings about this. We'd love to get your thoughts, especially if you've lived in the area. Maybe you're one of those people who's a landowner and you want to get us some information from the inside. Huh? From one of these phantom cities? Send it to us. We won't tell anybody. Except for everybody listening.
Right. Except for them. And then also, what are some of your favorite strange Disney rumors? And
mm-hmm.
do you think said rumor is true
mm-hmm.
or unsubstantiated? Because we found a lot of stuff that was, you know, pretty easily dismissed.
Yeah.
But that reminds us, it's time for
Shout Out Corner. first shout out of the day comes from Bruce, and I guess I'll say I wasn't on this episode, but like I love this email. Mm-hmm. In the Will the World End Tomorrow episode, Bruce talking, by the way. You mentioned Gary Oldman's unfortunate fashion choice in The Fifth Element.
Oh,
you guys remind me.
So Gary Oldman in The Fifth Element, and Gary Oldman, amazing actor. In The Fifth Element,
he has kind of a funny voice in that one.
Yeah, he
has a little foghorn leghorn.
He's going for what we call big old sing. Just chew that accent like a nice slow glass lemonade and a julep.
You gotta chew your lemonade.
Yeah,
ooh, that's some raunchy stuff. But what's the outfit like? What's
so he has this sort of a higher collared shirt. But the thing that really stuck out that we're talking about is, for some reason that is never explained or addressed in the film at all, he has a plastic transparent forehead covering on one side of his head. And his hair is combed around it. No one mentions it.
It's coming back to me now. I just pulled it up, but I never really clocked that particular piece. But that is super strange.
Yeah. His name was Zorg, by the way. That was his last name, at least. Jean-Baptiste Zorg.
Well, his name sounds very similar to the person that our friend Bruce blames for this monstrosity. Mm-hmm. He says, I can assert with some confidence that this choice is not to be blamed on Mr. Oldman. Instead, I childishly blame French fashion designer Jean-Paul Gaultier, who is culpable for designing the costumes for the film.
Oh.
He only just manages to redeem himself through the costume from Mia Jovovich's character, which is, iconic. It's like she's wearing like a strappy kind of like overalls kind of thing. It's super cool. He says, Jean-Paul Gaultier may be best known to us Americans as the one who designed the costumes for Madonna's Blonde Ambition tour, including her infamous cone bra.
I'm familiar with that.
I think any red-blooded American would be.
Yeah.
When you put the cone bra in play, the weird plastic head shield loses some of its mystery. That's just JP being JP.
He's somewhere on a set today now going, I gotta be me.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. He says, it's getting late in the morning on the last day of our collective lives, so I need to get this sent out and get the yard mowed. I like this guy's sense of humor.
Right?
I like the cut of his jib.
Yeah, thanks for writing, Bruce. I like the whole nine.
The whole thing. Good job, Bruce.
And thank you for answering that question. I didn't know Jean-Paul Gaultier was a madman in the world of fashion. But I do feel like much more at peace with the world by having an explanation. Because sometimes you get those little things that stick under the skin of your mind and they can haunt you.
Oh, man, that's what this show is all about.
It's all about haunting your mind skin.
And this concludes our... But not our show, assuming that the mouse doesn't find us and strangle us in our sleep. Right?
The mouse was like the original giallo. You know what I'm talking about? Like those movies where like you see the perspective of the killer and it's from the gloved hands.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be cool to have one that was like Mickey and you could just see his like creepy gloved hand and and then he slices up a beauty queen.
Oh, man.
Well, there's a darkness inside me. yes, so write in. Let us know what your opinion is of Disney. If you have any strange encounters or anecdotes from Disney, we'd love to hear them. And we'd love to hear whether or not you think these rumors are plausible. Mm-hmm. Does no one really die at Disney? Is that a myth? Are these like smear campaigns or is there some sand to them?
Are you a cast member backstage listening to this?
Can you listen to podcasts backstage?
I don't know. Maybe you're on break. Oh.
Perhaps.
What's back there?
Mm-hmm.
It's just a bunch of water coolers and snacks probably.
And there's a poster of Knight Rider, but with a kitten. As like the David Hasselhoff character.
Oh, I was picturing the like hang in there kitten, hanging off the tree branch. I like yours way better.
No, it's the same thing. It's like the cat's hanging off a tree branch, but also the car from Knight Rider is there.
And Kit's going, Michael? Is that the name of the dude?
Kit, I can't Kit's remember. The car.
Yeah. You can find Matt, Noel, and I on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Instagram. We are Conspiracy Stuff or Conspiracy Stuff Show, depending on which one you try. And you can find every episode that we have ever done on our website, stufftheydontwantyoutoknow.com. If you want to write to us directly, you can always find us at our good old-fashioned email address. We are
conspiracy@howstuffworks.com.